Iodine, not news, with Neil and Jonas.
Welcome, everybody.
Welcome.
You're coming in live.
Coming in hot.
In the back of a Uber XL.
That's it. It's a Denali.
Feels like, yeah. Nice chill vibes. Welcome to Papaya 9.
Welcome to Papaya 9, a five-star Uber of podcasts.
Right.
We're so glad to have you here.
Yeah.
You're at home. Maybe you're watching this. Maybe you're not. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're listening to this. Right. And you think, why is he rambling? Well, just so you know, I'm breaking the fourth wall with the camera. So people at home have something to engage with. The YouTube algorithm actually likes it if you look at them. Did you know that about the algorithm?
I did not. All right. But the thing is, like, you guys have like really big eyes, so you can't look too hard.
We do have big eyes.
Yeah.
We should mention that we have a very special guest.
Can they see me yet? Yeah, they're not able to see me the whole time.
We can block it out. Right. And
yeah.
Then like,
yeah, how do you guys do? You guys have like the good edits and stuff, right? Because I was like just sitting there, I think.
Yo, can we just blur your face?
Yeah, podcast? We like to introduce our guests halfway through the show.
it's the anonymous caller.
Right.
Michael Longfellow's here.
How's it going? Thanks for having me here.
Welcome, course, dog. Welcome.
Dude, yeah. Jonas.
We're live.
Neil. Alan.
Whoop.
There we go.
What's up, Alan?
There, and you did say that one was free. You said that one was free.
That was a free one, man.
Okay, good.
Dude.
Good.
I tell you what, man. A little bummed. A little bummed today. I was supposed to have a comedy show tonight, man.
Yes.
Supposed to have a comedy show by USC. Mm-hmm. And it got canceled because the cops.
Oh. Police aren't having a good year.
So here's the thing, what I want to know. You guys got there. Did you guys actually?
No, I was there.
Okay.
It's just me.
Okay, just you. So you actually went to the show.
Got there. It's a park. It's out of park.
Okay.
51st Street in Los Angeles.
And you were headlining this part.
No. Well.
It's a big deal. Park gig.
Yeah. You said you were taping your special.
I did say I was taping.
Yeah.
I did say I was taping tonight.
Yeah.
And made a big fuss about it, but apparently the cops don't want the gangs to... The gangs aren't allowed to hang out at the park. That's what the cops are the gangs, so they felt it was fair to also tell the open mic comedy show that they also couldn't hang out at the park, which I think is fair.
That is the fairest way.
Mm-hmm. It's fair. It's not fun.
Right.
But, you know, the cops, they got to show.
Now, if you guys were able to give the gangs a couple minutes on stage, do you think they would have let you stick around if you just gave them 3 minutes?
Yeah, the gangs...
Maybe they want to.
They're working
to do
on material. You know what I mean?
Right.
They're in there. They're hustling, man.
Who's doing worse to the park, hanging out all night, like comedians or gang members? I honestly don't know.
It's a toss up.
I think comedians bring a lot of equipment, a lot of feet, a lot of chairs. Does make those little holes in kind of the grass. They're so annoying.
It's true. Messing with the irrigation.
Gangs are kind of probably just sitting on the benches, kind of you know, chilling out.
Right, man.
Doing some other stuff.
My thing is, like, I think they should have at least watched the show before complaining. Maybe they would have had a good time.
Yeah. I think it's a missed opportunity.
The gang could have been a great audience.
Right.
Maybe someone does comedy and they're like, I don't want to do this gang shit anymore.
Yo,
fucking we found my dream.
It could have saved
but now
a life.
His life's lost to the streets. Yeah.
He goes to the comedy store and like
the
Roseanne
cops didn't
takes
want
him, on his way.
Him to find right. his dream.
That's
they want a job. They want chaos.
That's how the cops survive. It's pure chaos, man.
Comedy doesn't help the cops
at all. Mm-hmm. At all.
That doesn't fill their quota.
Well, it kind of bothers me because, you know, New York, man, they're just like they're doing it all kinds of ways out there. They're doing it on roofs. They're doing it on parks.
Dude, New York's nailing it so much harder than we are.
It's insane.
We got like one show outside of the Magic Castle. Right?
Yeah,
that like seven people can do.
They all gotta get swabbed too before.
Right. You can't even show up and just watch. You gotta.
Which is awesome. It's just it seems like there's 100 of those going on in New York.
Right, man.
Yeah.
They
like
have roofs.
A burgeoning scene.
Right.
Mm-hmm,
right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's rough, you know? Yeah. So it's one of those things, you know?
There's stuff in parks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just not the same. Not quite the same. New York's doing park stuff, though.
They're doing it everywhere.
One on the ocean.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh, yo. Yeah.
Too windy.
Oh, you did a cruise?
I think their show is nice. I did the early part, and it was like the sun was still out.
You're on a boat?
No, it was just the beach.
Oh. Oh, yeah. This is a... Yeah.
16.
They could hear, like, the waves crashing?
Yeah, it was very loud.
Dude.
But that also just sounds like you're bombing. You know, you're like, you can't hear the laughs. It's really loud.
Just hear the seagulls going.
Maybe some people could hear the laughs. Maybe I didn't get the laughs that are heard.
It's still a beach, though, right? Like, there are people there.
It was a Malibu beach.
So people are there just, like, hanging out?
Yeah, they try to... It's like when people are leaving the beach. But, yeah, there's some people there hanging out.
How does it feel like to perform stand-up with your feet in the sand? Like, how does that... Do you feel...
It's nice.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, do you feel...
Perks of it. There were a lot of perks to doing it on the beach.
Yeah.
If it wasn't that windy, I bet it would have been.
You got to go early. That's the key to the beach. You got to go early.
Yeah.
I just done some of those outdoor shows, and I just hate the sound of like the wind hitting the microphone.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah. Like you're just talking, all you just hear is.
It's also that wind is also hitting everyone's ears.
Right. Yeah. Right.
It is getting amplified.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah, honestly, whatever happened, I'm happy it canceled because, you know, we're here now.
We are here now.
Right.
We were going to be here anyway, but now right. I just don't have the adrenaline release of having done a show.
Wow.
It's all just pure adrenaline release. That's
we don't need one guy here who's done a show tonight, you know.
Right. Thinking he's better than everybody.
We've mismatched our energies.
Right.
We're all still sad. And they haven't expressed ourselves.
Oh, my God. Guys, I riffed a new tag tonight, right. And they loved it. They just loved it. I don't know. There's something about the moment.
I'm not going to lie. I was that comic for a little bit going around. Like, guys, I still got it. I still got it, guys.
Still got the magic?
It didn't go anywhere, guys. Oh, my God. I was that guy for a little bit.
I did, like, 4 shows, like the drive-in ones, mm-hmm. where I was like, yeah, we're still running, you know?
Yeah.
Snowball's moving downhill. And then I finally did one. It was so obvious that rust had settled in.
Wow.
Yeah, right.
It was kind of like meeting your maker. Like, you're like, I can't deny this truth any longer.
You didn't get any honks or something?
No, you know. Listen, if I bomb, you'll never know it. But I'll know it. And I'll know it could have been. And it was garbage. On my standards,
you didn't
garbage.
Sleep that night, did you?
No. But it's not like it's not like, oh, well, I'll just go up the next day.
Right.
It's like, I'll carry this for a couple months before I do a...
Before you even get the chance to again.
Yeah, before I get the chance to wear it off.
Oh, right. Man. Well, you were one of the first... You did one of the first shows.
I did.
Is it okay to talk about this?
Okay. I was pretty scared at the time. Yeah.
I know. I don't want a gotcha. Yeah. This isn't a gotcha kind of show.
It's one big gotcha.
I think one of 3 comedians in the country.
Dude, yeah, first to do what you did a show in pandemic.
I was absolutely the least famous one.
No question, dude.
Yeah.
No question, because the other ones were like...
Which is kind of why I felt cool to do it, because I was like, if anyone's going to
That's
catch,
truly underground, bro.
If anyone's going to catch the heat, it'll be these guys.
Right, man.
Probably.
Michael was doing it for the people, man.
Right.
I was trying to get a check. And, you know, just fly under the radar, grab a check. I hadn't gotten my unemployment at that point. It was early.
Right. Dude,
it was risky.
Dude, but how were the show? Were audiences were they ready to
at
hear
At that
shit?
Time, it had been, so it was that first feeling of when we might open back up again. Which obviously now looking back, it was like we were fucking so stupid.
Right.
It was so early.
Oh, man.
But yeah, so all the shows were sold out, which doesn't mean anything because it was 25% capacity. So
yeah.
My first sellouts were.
Dude.
What is that, 80 people or something? It was like 80 people in usually a 400 seat room or something. Whatever, 25%.
Well, that's beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Wow, 80 people in a 400 seat.
Yeah, but the shows were great. I have to, yeah, they were awesome. It felt like normal and nice, and I wasn't rusty at that point yet.
Right.
Had not been very long.
Dude, back then, that was like the bleach era. That was like...
Yeah, was everywhere. It was still wiping down your groceries.
Right.
Yeah.
Masks weren't even a question.
Right.
It mm-hmm. wasn't even like in the zeitgeist yet.
Did we almost try it though? Anyone almost tried
the bleach?
Yeah. Maybe the light
inside. I looked at a Tide.
I know better.
I just looked at it differently. I didn't actually consider it doing it, but I was like, this is the cure then. He's saying this is the cure. I'll just take one of these gummies and
a bleach gummy. Yeah, I probably would have tried it if someone like formed it into a gummy. Like, well, it must be, you know.
Right, dude. Well, Vimex should have gotten in on the bleach gummy.
Well, this is how I found out Michael was still doing stand up and like the worst of it. Like I was scrolling through like my feed or whatever.
Yeah.
And I just see articles of like how bad the numbers are in Arizona. Like it's just like three articles back to back.
Yeah, it was also in Arizona.
Right.
Yeah, and Arizona was the first right. First
Which
wave.
Was being very Arizona about the whole thing.
It was articles of like the governor not knowing what to do about the numbers, and then you scroll down like just two more, and then there's like Michael Felley's like, thanks for the great weekend in Arizona.
No. Untrue did not post about it. Did not post about it.
Sure damn.
The club may have posted
it. I saw a post.
On my socials, I posted nothing.
I saw the post.
So one post, the governor's crying. The next one, like, thank you for the great weekend.
Yeah, literally.
Oh, my God.
Like, thank you for the weekend shows, Arizona. Thank you, guys. It's so happy to be doing comedy.
Dude, I remember when I accepted that weekend. Do you remember the first couple months of this when it was like, the break was kind of nice. It was like a reason to take a break.
Yeah, right, yeah, right.
Right, right.
And
right.
I feel like I was finally doing things and enjoying them for like the first time ever.
Right.
And so like playing a video game and not hating myself. It doesn't feel like this, you know,
well,
this waste of time. But that, and then I accepted that gig and I remember flipping from this just bliss of these last couple months, which I'd never experienced, of this literally like living life,
right,
and not thinking about a dumb, stupid joke or a show the next day or the next night, you know,
you're just
not living
present.
Between these points, yeah,
living,
right. And then I was just right back to misery. I remember, and like I was having almost panic attacks all week because I was like, I'm gonna get fucking in trouble for this. I was like, this is.
Does it make it exciting though? Isn't
it? It was exciting. Yeah, when I first got the call, I was like, oh my God, yes, work again. And then.
No, like walking the line of like, this is wrong. This is like, this could get.
Yeah.
Right.
No, so this could not get exciting. Fucking right. Just wait. Just feels like I'm waiting. Feels like I have blood all over my hands and I'm just waiting for someone to see it.
You just blacked out.
Like, that's the guy that did it. No. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, I'm getting away with it right now. Yeah. But I don't know. I talked to a lot of comedians. I had like big comedians calling me that I'd never talked to before because I was one of the three people if you Googled. So,
you're kind of,
it worked out.
You know, like everyone else, you're kind of forced into the podcast medium now. You understand with everything going on.
Right, yeah. It's definitely helped, like,
right.
You got to figure out all that stuff too.
Yeah, man.
And you can. When you're tunnel visioning stand up,
but now you're you're going to be in the podcast game now.
In the podcast game, Podfellow
right.
podcast,
right?
Yeah,
coming
man,
soon.
Coming soon.
It is like it has been a time of like switching up, pivoting.
Yeah,
like pivoting again, and like trying to figure out
adapting, pivoting.
It's all adapting. That's it, man.
Like you have to be flexible,
right?
But the thing is, I hate stretching. You understand?
That's a bar right there, man.
Yeah, it's just a toss up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. I love stretching. I really do love stretching. Yeah. You stretcher?
You know, I rarely stretch, but I do like doing it.
Oh, yeah, man.
Neil should have a stretching podcast. You have him show you some stretches.
What?
Yeah.
It's just an audio.
I mean, I've done yoga and stuff. I've done, like, hot yoga.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Well, hot yoga's crazy, bro.
Yeah.
Hot yoga is like, intense mind fuck. Have you done hot yoga before?
No. No, no. I think
you should do hot yoga.
Really?
You need
to. I'm honestly surprised I had the strength to do it.
Well, the thing with me is like ever since Bikram got out the game, I'm like I don't want to do that. I only want to do it with Bikram. You
only with Bikram?
Only want to do it. Well, I'll do it with the other people, naked, the other women. You understand? But if I, if I could get in, we were supposed to go to that session in Spain. Remember?
That wasn't gonna. It wasn't gonna happen.
I think we spoke about it on this podcast a few times.
We had that.
I was actually looking for tickets to go to a Bikram session, and he's only doing it in Spain.
He's still doing stuff. That
he's still, dude.
COVID doesn't apply.
Isn't it well known that that guy's like a super predator?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah,
in Europe, man.
Yeah.
South America. They're. They're loving him.
So that's where to go. Yeah.
So he still has one studio.
The yoga's really good, I guess. It must be
in LA.
Yeah.
And it's in Pasadena.
Oh yeah. But he's not affiliated. It's like he's not affiliated with it anymore, but it is
originally
his studio.
That's what she said.
Yeah, man. So that's where you want to go because you're in Pasadena.
Yeah.
All right, man.
But so we're going. We're going.
I guess we can go, but it's probably not open right now.
You know, he don't care. Come on, Doc. Michael, you in? Alan, are we? Are we going? Are we hitting a big room?
Going to Spain or Pasadena? What are the choices?
Pasadena in Spain.
No, I also want like the sexual harassment part of the experience.
What?
Oh.
Yeah, I want the whole package.
What?
I might not.
I may pass out on this. I may tap out on this one too. Really? I didn't know that's what you were trying to get out of. Yeah.
No, I just want him to pull me aside after the session and be like, "Hey, why don't you come by later tonight?"
Why don't you come by?
And I would be like,
"Give me a shoulder rub."
Yeah.
Oh my god. You know, goodness,
I would swing by and do it.
My favorite quote of his was that one drop of his semen was worth $1 million. You remember that?
Yo, yes. He said that women. He was like, these women would be so proud to have sex with me. One drop of my semen is $1 million.
I think he meant to say 1 million kids.
That's a very low count.
Yeah. It's actually really low.
Got too hot.
Yeah. His balls stopped producing testosterone because of the heat.
You know, this is a great transition here. One of my favorite pastimes is watching Indians just get away with scheming white people. I just love to see it. They're so good. You know, it's
we
just
love a good scheme.
Oh,
love
I
a scheme,
love a good man. Scheme.
Love a con. Good,
yes.
We love cons.
Yes.
And that's not the name of the Indian guy that we're about to talk about.
No, not at all. So last week we talked about getting into the segment, you know, of these Indian bad boy billionaires. It's a documentary on Netflix.
Docuseries on Netflix. Now, before we, like, you know, we all have varying degrees here of watching the documentary, so we're just going to, this isn't going to be a thorough or factual, like, review.
I saw 4 minutes. Like 8 minutes ago, I watched 4 minutes.
So, if you're looking for a thorough review of the documentary on Netflix, please leave this show now.
Watch the documentary.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good retelling of it.
Yeah, I think Neil is admitting that he didn't watch it. I watched it.
I watched it. Mm-hmm. I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah.
But which one are we going to talk about today? We want to do one at a time, correct?
Yeah, we just want to touch on one at a time.
So when we started watching today was the pyramid scheme, the Sahara businessman. Whose name, of course, I'm forgetting. Do you have the name?
We're talking about Vijay, right?
Huh?
Vijay?
Vijay.
Maybe
it's Vijay?
Was it Vijay?
Is it Vijay?
Who's Vijay?
I don't think it was Vijay.
I think I remember Roy in there, wasn't there?
Something Roy.
Roy.
Sarata? Sarata.
I think
look
S.
At it. You got it. It's
that.
Like I see his picture right here. You just gotta scroll down.
Yeah. And it was like, if you just scroll down,
it's Roy. I think Roy is his last name. You're right, Alan.
Sabrata Roy.
But yeah, either way. So he started this pyramid scheme, which was essentially taking 100 rupees a month from people, and he targeted like lower class folks,
right.
And the promise was that you would get 3 times your money back in a year.
Mm-hmm. It's a good deal if I've ever heard one.
It's just, if you're down, I mean, solid, if you got 100 rupees to spare, but.
His name is Sabrata Roy.
What does 100 rupees translate to?
Subrata.
Subrata?
Yeah.
Subrata.
The American dollar.
Yeah.
100 rupees is like, I don't want to say as maybe like a nickel. A dime?
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. What's a crow?
Oh, that. Wow.
I get 15 cents back.
Crows
like
10,000.
Okay, that's a very small investment.
Okay. Oh, a crow
but
is
that's
10,000.
How big so. Do you think of a percentage of these people's daily wage was 100 rupees?
Like, we're talking people were like already struggling to live. It seemed like from this documentary, like he targeted the one.
Yeah.
You know, one group of ladies. They were living
like
in the city. They couldn't read.
Thing.
That was
a
big thing.
Contracts,
yo.
So that was kind of a big thing.
Yeah.
Yo,
yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. He was balling too, wasn't he?
And it was all documented. And it was all legit. And that was the thing. It was all legit for a while. Mm-hmm. But then he started saying that it was worth more than it was to get loans from the banks. And then the banks defaulted loans. As the government was like, well, we got to bail out this bank. which was the crime that he committed. It was the fraud.
Right.
But dude, he got 30 million people, which for India isn't a lot of people, but
it's like a small wedding.
That's a bus stop.
Yeah.
For sure, yeah. 30 yeah, that's chump change for sure. But 30 million people to buy into this scheme, so it was worth like $3.6 billion,
my God.
Which I don't know how many hundred thousand rupees is.
$3.6 billion.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know,
and how long did he do it for? Was he prolific or was he like, how long was his reign?
Well, I think for the first 4 minutes, it looks like. Yeah. I think I remember he
was on
pretty good at the first 4 minutes.
Yeah, he was on.
Didn't he start in the 80s or something? It was the 80s.
Yeah.
That's when it started.
Right.
And then up until he got caught, good run.
Well, that's the thing, because the reason I'm fascinated these documentaries is like, I like, I don't know, man. I just like seeing the reckless spending. You know, that's my favorite.
Oh,
part.
Yo.
You like the Wolf of Wall Street?
You like that part of it.
Dude, I know what you mean.
You know, it's, you know, these guys are breaking the stereotype of like, you know, stingy, like Indians. It's like, dude, these guys aren't.
It's
know?
Very Western, like right. decadent way to live.
Right.
You got the models, you got like the events with right. people, waiters giving you finger food and.
Yes.
Fucking. Shania Twain is singing. Enrique is singing yeah. at your
right.
shit.
One of these guys and bought, you're in like, India, Lionel bro? Richie, bro.
These guys wanted to put on India. Like, it right. was like, we can hang with the Donald Trumps of the world. Like, yeah. the Warren, yeah. not the Warren Buffett, because he wasn't
but
a partier.
You
kind of
need that.
You do, right?
Yeah. yeah.
That kind of.
You need everything. The crooks are everywhere.
That's it.
And if you don't have any crooks to, like, I don't know, yeah. hang out with our crooks and their crooks. You're at the crook party, and that's you want to at least be in the crook party.
Well, one of them said like the most baller thing ever. Like, there was like a reporter interviewing them, and they were just like, "Hey, you know, we see how you live your life. We compare you to Donald Trump. Do you know who Donald Trump is?"
Yeah.
And he was just like, "I read about him." He's like, "But I don't have the bankruptcies." Yeah. And it was just like, yeah. Just the most baller.
I love that. Yo, I remember that. Like, yes. Yes.
And it was just like, wow.
Wow.
I think foreign wealth is like a lot more than American. Like their definition of wealth is like so much more than American. Like here,
more
5
wealthy.
Million, 10 million, you're rich. Mm-hmm. But that's not mm-hmm. rich. 10 million.
I know nothing.
Really?
Oh, so real quick, mm-hmm. one crore of rupees is 10 million rupees.
Wait,
a crow?
Is one crore.
Crone.
Crow.
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 Oh.
Yeah.
It's C-R-O-W-E.
No, not a crow like the animal. it's not a crow. It's a C-R-O-R-E.
Oh, okay. C-R-O-R-E.
Yeah.
Okay.
Crow.
Okay.
It's 100, I'm sorry, it's 10 million rupees. 10 I said it was 10,000 earlier.
Okay.
And I don't want, you know, I don't want the media to come after us, dude. Okay, we didn't want to get the measurements wrong, but... Yeah, I think those guys, I that's what I don't like, man. Like, we can't have billionaires be like Western billionaires. We got to make our own type of billionaire. You know what I'm
but,
saying?
I mean, that's the goal.
You want to
do
same.
It like Birdman, dog.
Do they all, what? Birdman's not a billionaire, dude.
I mean, you know, the lifestyle.
The lifestyle,
the
yeah.
The lifestyle, like Diddy. You understand?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what the idea that you can do whatever you want.
Right.
Putting that out as an image, that's your,
right.
Whether you can or not, that's the... Like yeah. Almost like Mike Tyson
right.
does with just being, I mean, no one can talk to Mike Tyson.
No.
True.
It's like almost, yeah, if you're rich yeah. enough, you get to be as strong as Mike Tyson almost.
Yeah.
yeah.
And when you walk into a room,
you have
like,
right.
fucking, I guess you're the boss.
Yeah. Yo, that's wild.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It is wild.
Sometimes you get a fucking
right.
stomp some people to get there.
Well, do you watch his podcast, that Mike Tyson podcast?
I've seen clips of it.
Podcast he's on.
Okay, it's worth a watch because there's always a moment where like the guests get scared, like like they're 10 minutes in and like because it's like a really intimate podcast. Like he makes eye contact with them,
yeah.
And like there's like a scene where like he was calling out Lil Boosie for like making.
I saw that one. That's the one I saw.
Dwayne
Wade's
son. And you just watch you watch Boosie just break. This guy's like a convicted murderer. Like, and right. you just watch him break down under my. I'm so sorry, dog. I didn't mean to do it. I'm just like,
whoa. Wait, dude. So Lil Boosie said what about Dwayne Wade's son?
He was saying like some trans.
Oh
stuff.
Shit!
Yeah.
And then Mike Tyson was like, can't say shit. Like
he called him gay to his face.
He said that too. Wait. He's like, you can't be transphobic.
No.
You gay piece of shit.
Really gay for that. Mike, so you're almost there.
Well, oh my God, man. We want to preserve everybody's rights.
You have to watch it, man. It's just, all, I mean, all of his episodes are like that, but they all break down. Like, you realize you're in the presence of, like, someone, like,
yeah, dude.
You know, like, oh, man. This
dude, I'm
he's
I'm
been
a,
through so much more than the average human being will ever go
oh,
through.
Oh, dude's wild. Yeah. Right. He's a true warrior.
And experienced. Right. Yeah.
Dude, but I battle. Can't, none of us can incite that kind of fear in anybody.
Nope.
I haven't been through it.
Not even, you know, not even babies, man. I babies, like, will disrespect me openly. It's like
babies?
Not, yeah, man. Yeah, they'll look at you in a way, it's like, you ain't shit. Wow. It's like, you ain't, you shit your pants. I don't fuck with babies like that. Well, I would
when
love.
When was the last time you guys held a baby, though? When was the last time you guys held a baby?
A few months ago.
Really? A few months? That's quarantine?
My cousin had a baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Congrats.
Congrats, man.
It's got to be my cousin's baby.
Right.
So you're an uncle then, huh?
Yeah. I did, unfortunately, give it COVID, and it has
non-COVID.
Kidding. Ava's doing great. I shouldn't have said her name. Sorry about that, John.
A baby shower?
Right.
No, a baby funeral.
Yeah.
Then when was the last time you held a baby, dog?
I just love that question, man. When's the last time you held a baby, dog?
Yeah.
Would have been over a year ago. Wow. Yeah. For only baby I've held, also.
My answer before that would have been never, though. That
was really?
That was, oh,
first
dude,
baby?
My first baby.
First,
I mean, since
first
I was
baby?
Like a
yeah, man.
Maybe like a kid.
Isn't it crazy?
Yeah, it is.
I didn't feel any sort of paternal thing or anything. I was like, this is just wild as a lie.
I felt nice. I was like, but I was also like related to the baby in a way.
That's like, fair. Yeah, that's fair. I was just, yeah, I was just holding somebody else's baby.
Yeah, someone else's baby. I could, yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
Also, people don't like it when you just take their baby.
Right. Well, I always wonder where all the babies are in L.A.
Mm.
I don't see a lot of babies.
You're always wondering that.
They're like, yo, where are the babies are the in babies? L.A.? I see no babies in L.A.
We're trying to have babies in this town, you know? We're trying to make it.
Yeah.
That's true. There was
trying
a time.
To get an Emmy, not a baby.
Babies just get in the way.
Babies right. Just get in the way.
Right, man. And then if you don't get the Emmy, you name your baby Emmy.
Damn.
And then it's like sad.
And Oscar.
And Oscar.
And Tony. Holy shit, they all work.
Oh, my God.
Other ones are.
Grammy is, that one kind of
Grammy's a bit.
It's a little weird to name your baby Grammy.
SAG Award. The fourth one, EGOT?
EGOT. That's tight. That's some new age shit.
Yeah,
Pulitzer Prize.
Right.
Mark Twain. Mark Twain Award.
Critics' Choice Award. The baby.
Oh, man.
Alan, you held a baby?
9 years.
Oh, wow. In years?
You said it like a war veteran.
I'm, glad, I'm glad you put that down, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Alan's like, get that weak shit out of here.
Oh, my God, man. Now you just hold teens. Now you just hold just older people. You're still holding people.
Yeah.
That's for sure, man. Yeah, man. You held a baby?
Dude, hug babies all the time.
That seems like your MO, man.
Yeah. Are you amongst babies?
Yeah, dude, I love babies, man.
Why are you amongst so many babies?
So, I don't know. Like, I still keep in touch and stuff like that. You know with my church group
You
and
keep
stuff.
In touch with babies? Oh.
Yeah, my church group.
Baby network?
Right.
You got my Splitwise app with me and seven babies?
Yeah.
This is a phone number. You'll know what to do.
Right.
I have, like, a play school phone. Like,
right. Fisher Price.
Jonas.
Yeah.
You up?
I'll put you come down. Yeah, you up.
Do you guys want a baby?
Oh, man.
Sorry.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, right. Oh, Jesus.
Shit, I don't mean to go buck wild right. In this bitch.
Dude.
We're kind of straddling the fence.
Longfellow's going berserk, man.
Yeah.
Sorry, bro.
No, it's cool.
I'm cool. I'm chill.
I'm indifferent.
Yeah? I'm wow, indifferent. What?
I'm indifferent.
That's a weird position, I feel.
Yeah.
So you could just give or take.
Yeah.
You're going to let the woman decide?
Leave that up to her.
If it happens, it happens.
Yeah, because I'm not using condoms.
It's kind of dope, actually. I like that.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way to be.
That is.
That's going to be a clip.
I think I would like to, but I don't have any plan to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm nowhere near any sort of plan to.
Well, it's kind of done like this thing where, like, especially every chick like I've been with, it when I do that thing where it's just like, hey, that's all on you, they're automatically like, I don't think I want kids with this guy, and they just take care of all of it.
Oh.
So it's like, you know,
maybe don't open with that. First date.
Put it on my Hinge, like
maybe a third date thing. Yeah, put it on your Hinge.
up to you. So I don't. Yeah, that's why I just stay indifferent. You know.
Yeah.
You want a baby?
Yeah.
So what you saying?
I don't know, maybe someday. Have a little guy. Mm-hmm. Be yeah. like, hey, fucking. Go pick that up.
Like Michael would come over and I'd just
come up. Good job. Oh, bad job.
What?
Being a dad.
Just kind of come in and out.
Yeah. I definitely know that not for a long time, though. I want to be an old father.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, an old father.
Ooh.
Be one of those.
How old?
Okay.
Like not so old that it's just... Just old enough to where, like, parents at PTA meetings can't comment on it.
Okay.
Like, it's not so incredibly noticeably old.
Right.
Right.
Maybe I'm like...
But you...
Because I think I could be spitting out... I mean, I trust my potency. I trust my, you know... Mm-hmm.
That's facts, man. That's facts.
You know, I can only hope that it'll last, but I have no reason to believe that it won't.
Yeah.
Deep into my...
Right. Are you going to be okay with your kid seeing you without a beard? Like, is that what it is? Like, the baby face? You think he's going to see you and be like, okay.
I do have a fear that my kid will think I'm like a bitch. That I'll, like, have, like, this jock.
Let's get
fucking
down
like
to the real root like, of the God, problem.
It's broke as fuck, dude. He keeps reading Brené Brown.
Dude, like, imagine being a dad and telling your kid to do something, and the kid's just like, no, fuck you. That is terrifying. That's a terrifying thought.
He can look you in the eye at the age of 14.
Right.
Yeah, that's fucking...
Starts calling you Michael.
Yeah.
That's like a thing every dad goes through, though. Like, every son eventually is like, you know, rebels, but that's so fucking terrifying.
That'd be wild, man.
See your creation just not follow you. That's Frankenstein. That's how Frankenstein happens.
Right. Well,
what was Michael... Tyson's dad, like,
wow,
probably great dude.
I think his dad was a pigeon. That's so maybe such a weird joke.
Immediately assume he wasn't a great dude, like I did, but I don't know. I haven't heard anything on.
I think he trained him, or I don't know. I actually don't want to speak on it at all. I have no idea. Maybe he didn't know him.
Well, we got to look at the end results here. You know, their fathers created millionaires.
Yeah, I guess what do you call a good parent, you know?
Right. Mike Tyson's dad, Joe Jackson.
Is it impact over intent?
Joe Jackson.
Joe Jackson, the greatest fathers
of
all time.
Creator of icons.
True, right. Man.
Right.
That's fucking true.
Right.
Yes, but it's also true that but many people that do notice, like, you know, kind of that are extremely... That have the strength like that.
Yeah. Right.
Perhaps have not come from a...
That's the thing. Mm. Those people are anomalies.
Very cushy dad background. I don't know.
Yeah.
So you think for every Michael Jackson that was created, there's like at least like...
For every great artist, there's got to be like, yeah, fucking some... And I feel like parents are pretty consistent one.
Yeah, dude.
That you see amongst extraordinary people.
Yeah.
They had weird parents.
Adversity. Yeah. In some sorts. But you know what? Life is suffering, man. That's true.
Yeah.
So maybe I the question is, does it take that type of parenting to make a Mike Tyson? Or could a Mike Tyson come from like... could a Mike Tyson
could
come
Mike
from
Tyson
like a
come from
model?
My background? Like, right. Where it's right, like, you know, my parents both love me.
Yeah.
Encourage me. Dude, would I like want to fucking, you know, could I... I didn't.
What would you rage against, I guess?
That's, yeah, I guess you maybe need a chip on your shoulder.
Yeah.
But maybe that's not Mike's chip. Maybe he's got a million other chips. Maybe his
chips,
dad was dope as fuck.
I think
Tyson's dad
was just a spiked bat.
His dad was a spiked bat?
Just a spiked bat.
What do you mean?
And he just raised a, you know, just impenetrable monster.
I imagine
I
he was a tough guy, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
So his biological father was never in the picture.
Ah.
So there we go. Daddy issue.
Yeah, let's just edit out the last 10 minutes.
All our theories.
He was a great guy. Tyson's day was great. This is the type, you know, this is the type of integrity and journalism intent that we like to approach in this podcast.
Speculate. Get it all out there. Let the whole world formulate an opinion. And then be like, oh,
it's
a setup.
We'll look up the facts after all of it.
Oh, man.
It's not news, you know.
It is not news.
Yeah.
Do we feel we barely talked about the bad near billionaire? Bad boy billionaire thing.
Let's get back to it.
Right.
I think we can. I mean, I kind of wanted to talk about the drug thing in Portland.
Oh,
in Oregon.
That is
yes.
Are
yes,
you guys
right.
Want to go?
Yes.
You guys want to go to Oregon and just like do some mushrooms because our therapist prescribed.
I mean, but can you still, like, it's not like they're selling drugs. I don't know.
They're going to sell them. Yeah. They're going to sell. You can sell mushrooms. You can buy mushrooms like you can buy weed. Yeah.
Really?
It's going to happen.
For medical use. Right?
For medicinal use, right.
Medicinal use.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Medicinal use.
What is the, probably like PTSD and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's probably not like, yo, man, fucking trip
dope
out of your.
Fuck, bro. I mean, yeah, that's awesome.
It's microdosing, probably. Yeah. You know? Yeah, it is dope.
Yeah.
It's dope.
Sense, though. Yeah. I've met a lot of great people from, like, Oregon. You know, it's, I don't know. Every person I met from Oregon was, like, cool.
My sister went to college in Oregon.
Right.
There you go.
We love Oregon.
Right. The Nike factory.
Longfellows love Oregon.
There we go, man.
Nike factory.
Right.
The Simpsons, apparently, is based in Oregon.
Right.
Portland's adorable. I love Portland.
Portland's cool.
Oregon State.
Oregon State.
Let's go Beavers.
Antifa.
Antifa.
They've been killing it this year. Portland's been chaos. Right, right.
Interesting thing about Oregon.
Yes, they're in the mix.
First state the KKK got organized in after they left the South.
Oh.
First state. A lot of great people in Oregon, guys.
Dude, could you imagine if the KKK could have gotten that Nike sponsorship early on?
Just a swoosh on all their hoods.
We don't need the KKK that fast. They're fast enough. They get old Converse. Bill Walton played in.
Oh my God, dude. Yeah, Bill Walton ad. They sound like hoods, you know, like these hoods make you faster.
They're breathable.
They're breathable.
Made out of fiber mesh.
It's all dry fit.
Right.
All dry.
Right. The Grand Wizard is like, this feels great.
This feels like, great.
Real flexible guy.
Makes it easier to persecute.
Oh, man. Can't see my sweat stains, man. That's
so
hilarious, bro.
How do you think something like this would kind of overall? Because I guess the goal is to decriminalize it. We want the right kind of people in prison. We don't want, you know, the mushroom people. They're harmless.
Right.
You know, we want the right kind of people in prison.
That's right.
Which I think is like the good, you know.
Mm.
I think that's the good way to approach it.
I think that's fair. We want to put the right people in jail.
Right, we want the right people.
But, yeah, so I guess this will get a lot of people out of jail, hopefully, right?
No, I think they're going to stay in there. I mean, it's
like, we're pretty progressive already. Right.
Yeah.
We still have to think about that.
Right.
We still have to do. Jail.
Yeah.
We got mushroom
leg too.
How do you think we're going to pay for these mushrooms? We're going to keep you guys in here.
Every it's always like, they always do this like with Kamala. Like, they always bring up all the people like she locked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're always just like, what about all those people you locked up? Are you going to get them back out? And she's like, well, let's just hold on until after December. She always just pushes off the question.
Yeah. Right.
She's like, I put in a lot of hard work into locking those guys up. And, it's just like, yeah, that's no. They're probably gonna stay in there.
They're probably gonna stay in.
Yeah, they're gonna stay. You know.
Yeah, man. Yeah, Kamala's a cop.
Yeah.
Cops are back, man.
Cops are back.
Cops are back.
Cops making a comeback.
The boys in blue are streaking down the field.
Yeah. So I honestly. If I were to sit here and look at it, the one cool thing about this is like when a state legalizes it, they build like an infrastructure around it. So it's like, now we'll create safe ways for people to do these drugs.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then now all of a sudden.
Canada's been doing that.
Right.
Haven't they?
Right.
Really?
Detroit with the needle program.
Yeah,
Detroit
dude.
With the needle program.
Canada's really, maybe this is like the needle program. Canada will put people with heroin addiction in hospitals and then give them small amounts of heroin. In order to like curb their addiction.
I think they do that everywhere.
Even here?
Yeah.
Alright.
they use like a, you know, they use.
Well, I'm glad that's the standard.
Yeah.
Canada also just has places where you can, if you're addicted to heroin, can go do heroin and get heroin.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's in a safe
like in Manitoba
dosage and like environment.
Yeah.
See, right. The environment's key, right? You give heroin to people who are living in already an unstable environments, then it's a heroin problem.
Yeah.
If you're doing Canada, it's a Thursday.
Right.
Going out with the boys.
Yeah.
Honey, I'll be back. Gonna do heroin with the boys.
Right.
You know?
Well, you know, I think that's also just them being polite. You know, they're very just hospitable, polite people. Mm. You come here with a problem.
Well, right.
You know? Yeah.
I like that.
Think about that. You know, you got a vice and you walk in it and just someone just freely offers you a ton of your vice.
A ton of your vice.
Come on.
Well, I don't think it's like, you know, I don't think they push heroin.
No.
I don't think they're like, at the you're in Canada, yeah. It's poutine and heroin.
You think they're making the kid but commercials
if you're
right
like,
now?
You know, give me heroin. They're like, all right, here is a safe amount of heroin. In a place.
So if I walk,
it's not like a tourist hotspot.
Like an app?
You've got to take a trip.
A trip.
You go to Vancouver. Thai food, heroin.
TripAdvisor. Yeah.
Oh my god, we give this place 4.5 needles.
But so. I bet, who knows? I bet you probably could just go. I don't know. Maybe you could with a little acting.
Right.
Go get that heroin.
Oh yeah,
I bet. Or maybe you just can go do heroin.
I mean, wouldn't it be better than street quality heroin?
It's gotta be
for sure.
It has to be, yeah, it'd be
synthetic.
Safer.
Yeah, yeah, man.
I heard government stuff is stronger though.
Damn.
Well, no,
really?
You heard?
Yeah.
Is that good for that?
Yeah, I heard government stuff is stronger though.
Interesting.
You get more addicted.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, that's interesting.
I heard they got that straight. Like,
I mean, I would hope the power of the government could go behind making everything better.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
That's true.
I hope are, yeah. I hope they can do that.
Dude, what's this infrastructure thing you're talking about? They're building infrastructure around.
Yeah, so it's like, drugs? Yeah, you legalize it, and the infrastructure is just about doing it safely. You know, hey, you don't have to do this on the street no more. Mm. Come inside. We got soup. Just, you know, it's wow. it's like the warmer side yeah. of it.
Heroin
oh,
and
man.
Soup.
Yeah, you can do VR. Right. You do heroin, a little VR, arcade, you know?
Right.
It's hospitable.
Wow, that sounds trippy.
Fully.
You want to do virtual reality on heroin?
Wouldn't that be crazy?
Isn't heroin enough?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, not I for the gamers, man. Like,
dude, wow.
Fine, really?
Virtual reality?
They're already trying to escape reality one way.
That should be a virtual
right.
reality yeah. game.
Right.
Right. Yeah. You're on.
Where you get
right.
to do heroin.
There you go.
That's actually
it's
a great
like those
idea.
Drunk goggles, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So you wean yourself off.
It's a whole story too. Like you have to talk to your mom about it, and like have withdrawal, and you really like live through.
You
the
get an intervention on level
yeah.
3.
Yeah. You passed. You passed the intervention. You still are getting heroin from your dealer.
Relax.
Relax.
Level 6.
You have to steal money from your parents. It's like a little side quest.
Yeah. Right.
Disappoint right. them. You know.
But it just makes me think about like 20 or 30 years from now, like,
huh?
You know,
I do think that eventually it seems to me like in a utopia, there wouldn't be any illegal drugs.
Right. Well,
and that almost all that we could look at the legalization of all drugs like we do as alcohol prohibition now as like, oh, that was a
right.
thing they used
mm-hmm.
to do
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that just
right.
wasn't the right move.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think if they dose it.
Aside,
if they dose it, then it's cool. But if they're just like, here, everybody just take
right.
fucking as many drugs as you want.
Yeah, I don't know if the human being is there yet to
right.
like have that sort of free will. But
right.
I don't think it's another human being's.
Because that's the thing with legalizing.
To say that either.
Right, yo. It's
yeah.
So
who
it knows? It means a ton of government intervention.
Yeah.
They have to create tax laws and trade laws and industry liabilities, all this stuff. They have to
right.
make all these rules and regulations. And then it's like, government oversight.
Mm-hmm.
There's no solution.
No. And if the cartels unionize, forget about it.
Dude,
you gotta you
right.
pay them now.
Does that legitimize the cartels? Because then now they can
right.
Apply for like a business
right.
loan.
Yeah, another gentleman.
That'd
be a good thing.
I watch a lot of the drug trafficking documentaries. I can watch them a lot. And I understand why they're so expensive. It's a lot of hardworking people that go into getting you know, your heroin.
It's true.
You know, a lot of people risk their lives.
It's true, man.
And it's like, yeah. these are like great paying jobs too.
Right.
You know, like, so it's kind of like, even the trafficker, like who gets it from like, you know, Jalisco and has to take it to.
Yeah.
Tijuana.
Dude, just imagine that anxiety. Oh my God. I could never. Just
dude.
The nerves alone.
Sitting right. on a Greyhound.
Sitting on a Greyhound.
Just shaking.
Just like,
oh, yeah,
17 more hours.
Three police stops. Yeah. Going through fucking checkpoints and stuff. I go through the checkpoint into California, which I've never. From Arizona to California, there's a little checkpoint you
uh-huh.
go through. And all they do is, had they've ever done is just wave. They,
oh, they just.
But it's like this whole thing, and there's
yeah.
a stop. You're supposed to stop.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't have anything in my car, and I still am just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
They're going to get me for something.
There's such relief every time I get through it with nothing in my car at all.
Right.
Man.
It depends.
You should have like a bunch of guns in your backseat, though.
Yeah. There are creative ways.
I once went through this checkpoint that you're talking about. It was me, my other one Indian friend, and my one Jewish friend. Mm-hmm. And my Jewish friend was driving. We were all pretty fucking... We had hotboxed the entire way. Because we were going from Texas to L.A. Mm-hmm. Just hotboxing the entire way. Car smelled like shit. Pulled up. And it was crazy. It's just like... Like, to just see... Like, just him being well-spoken for.
Yeah.
And, you know, a calm white, you know? Like, it just worked. The cop could obviously smell it, but he was like, it's fine, go ahead.
Yeah. Neil forgets you're we have one right here.
Calm white?
Dude, I wouldn't claim the calm white role. I'd be fucking nervous, as, even if I shouldn't be.
You start throwing nugs at the cop. Right. Sorry, I don't have anything.
Back right seat. He just knocks on the window. It's a back right seat. He's like, this is a cell phone. Like, I'm sorry.
Yo, Neil, by the way, is opium still killing in India, dog?
I don't know why you think I like I am like that. Like your go to guy
yesterday, right?
Yeah, how's it on the streets,
yeah,
man?
Yeah, yeah. How was
I don't know, man. Yeah. I'm not plugged into this at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. What, as opium?
I don't know.
India was like historically known for
I think
like,
we're the ones with the
we got the opium the problem now. Opium?
The opium problem.
Yeah.
That's what dude, that's what it's called in India's opium. Ah. India joke. India first. Go by a nine.
Modi.
Modi.
Donald Trump.
No.
Modi and Donald Trump.
This is where the accent gets dangerous. It gets dangerous, Jonas.
India for Donald Trump.
Oh. I see. Oh, this is what
he does. Dude, India was like historically like they introduced opium to the world.
I just want to say I'm so proud of Michael for not jumping in on that.
Right,
sometimes you're just happy to be on the wave.
Right. I like Michael. He doesn't
just
get it.
Surf
he
it
just,
on,
yeah, he just you know
just riding the wave.
He
man.
Just watches it from the shore. He's great. So they introduced it, and they were the first one to introduce it to like British people, like Europeans, like, and they got hooked on it.
Opium.
Yeah. They would fly out to India just to do opium. And they built like these huge opium houses with like whores in it. And white people would just.
Isn't that like the Beatles?
Didn't I think they were there.
Isn't that Abbey Road? Yeah. Isn't that the album?
Yeah, yeah. There's a there's a picture of Gringo and just shooting it up. But yeah, very old school stuff. Dude,
Lucy and the Skunk opium, right? It's a
it's a smoke, I think.
It's a smoker.
Yeah. Smoke, yeah.
It's a smoker.
Is this it's like a rock?
Right.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And what, it's like, you know, what? It's like a really good weed.
It's crazy loud. Crazy loud weed.
Crazy loud.
Right.
Yeah, because people were hooked on it, and it's a plant, mm-hmm. I think. It grows naturally from the earth.
Yeah, that should, like, be the, like, the whole weed's a plant argument. Maybe that's not a great argument. Opium's a plant, too.
Overall, we need a better argument overall.
Yeah. Overall. Chill. I think just chill.
Chill.
Is, like,
chill's a good argument.
Just chill. It's over. You lost. The whole, it's going legal.
It's all
it's
going
so
away.
Legal.
Just chill.
Just chill on it.
Just chill on it.
With the exception of weed, though, drugs are like really, really boring before they're actually made. Like even like, mean? So like cocaine, like even the coca leaves, like from like they just look like.
Cocaine's a plant too. That's a terrible argument. Yeah.
Yeah. So those leaves, like they look like that. Like you wouldn't know from like eyes. Like they're just very boring looking. Mm. Like you could grow a cocaine plant in like your yard and nobody would know. Just a little plant. You could just have one in your office. Nobody would know.
Did you ever see how they made it from like plant to eventually like the cocaine that we know it, the powder stuff?
Yeah.
I'm always like, how the hell did they figure that out? It's like a 10-step process.
Yeah.
Yo, how do you fall into that?
Yeah. It's a whole thing.
Know.
But they always change it all the time. You know? Did you guys see that Denzel Washington movie?
Which one?
The Frank Lucas one? I forgot. American
Gangster?
American Gangster.
A long time ago.
I saw
really?
That one.
Yeah. You
is
saw
that
it?
One?
Yeah.
Is that good. The famous scene one?
Famous scene one?
The one with
like,
the blue magic?
You think you can do this to me?
Oh, you're thinking of Training Day.
That's Training Day.
You're thinking of Training
yeah.
Day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like that one. That one's
the King Kong.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a good
training
one, too.
Training Day's good. Yeah, I love Denzel.
Yeah, Denzel always makes sure he has his Training Day moment in every
That's
movie.
It, man. Yeah. That's the moment where he just shows you he's the man.
It's like the Snakes on a Plane moment with Samuel L. Jackson. Oh, it's just like, this is the movie we came to see.
Yeah. He said it. Look at Snakes.
So American Gangster?
Yeah, American Gangster.
They
Frank Lucas was his guy. And he talks about how he got heroin into the country overseas. 100% pure.
Damn.
He was beating out the Italians. And he was like, we can cut out the middle guy and I can just make this myself.
Okay.
And so, yeah, there's that whole thing. American made.
See? American made, baby. We want to bring business.
That's what I'm saying.
To America?
Bring jobs back.
Bring jobs back.
Make America great again.
India!
Modi! Dude, by the way, Modi is in like a few of these documentaries too.
It's not the same Modi.
Who's Modi?
It's a different Modi. The Prime Minister of India.
Oh, okay.
It is the same Modi. It's not.
It's not the same Modi.
Are there different Modis?
It's a very. I think
there's
it's a pretty
multiple
common
Modis,
name.
Man.
In Gujarat, it's Modi. A very common name. Modi.
So it's kind of like a title.
No, it's his last name.
So how are there multiple Modis?
It's like Johnson. How are there multiple all the Johnsons aren't related to each other. But they all are Johnson.
Well, the black ones are. Dog, so there's different Modis.
Too many Modis.
And this one was different.
Too many modes. Yeah, different guy. Mm-hmm. Maybe, I guess we're all related in a soul kind of way.
Wow. Yeah.
But this Modi is different from the Modi that is the Prime Minister of India, quasi-nationalist, quasi-fascist.
Quasi.
Yeah. Not 100% great, but... People, that's the thing. Trump appealed to our Modi does this too. They appeal to like people's lizard brains.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. It's like you feel some sort of tribal way about that person.
Right.
And that's a crazy amount of influence over like Joe Biden, who's like very calming and like everything's gonna be okay. We're all gonna work together. Mm-hmm. And you're like, that's logical. Yeah. That makes sense. That's how I want to live my life. And Trump, you just feel
would you guys?
It's like Prince, you know.
Would you guys get into politics? Would you guys
never?
Wait,
never.
did Modi have a hat with the slogan on it? Did he have his own little slogan that was like
MAGA?
Oh no, you know how like great make America great again? Was there like a Modi version?
Oh, dude!
No, it was a scarf.
Well, a scarf.
Yeah, a scarf.
Yeah, it was a scarf.
Make India great again.
Yeah.
MAGA.
MAGA.
It's not great.
Yeah.
To be honest, it's not great.
Just across. Who knows, man?
MAGA doesn't work like that.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't.
No, man.
If I were to get into politics, man.
Yeah.
I think like now it's like it's weird because you got the new president and like other countries are like kind of starting to like kiss up now again. Like, you know, so it's like Paris is like, yo, you know, hey, Biden, what's going on, man? Like everyone is like already kind of treating. They're already treating him like they're asking him for stuff already. Yeah. And he's like, guys, I got until January.
Wow.
And they're just, but we want stuff now. But, you know, it's kind of like that, you know. Dude. You don't know what to do.
Man.
But you guys jump in. You think a comedian would make a good president?
No. There's a movie about that with Robin Williams.
Really?
I forget what it's called. My mom told me to watch it. it's not the best movie, but you know, yeah, he gets voted president.
And he's a comedian.
He's a comedian. He's like a late night talk show host. You work at David Letterman, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Dude. I mean, Robin Williams probably, it's a good, it might be a good look. I don't maybe necessarily trust their decision making.
Yeah, there's a lot of, it was made right before Trump, I think. Mm. And then now when you watch it, you're kind of like, oh, he's kind of being Trump.
Whoa.
A little bit. Like, he's like yelling at the, he like takes over the debate. And I'd be like, I bet this was a cool scene.
Sleepy
before
Johnson.
A dude. Month ago.
There was a lot of that, too. There was a lot of TV that's just not good anymore.
For sure, man.
After all this.
Yeah, it's weird.
Sure. And
it feels like the quarantine's gotten long enough to where everyone was like, don't write COVID stuff.
Right.
You know, no one's going to want to hear about it. And now I see a lot more, I see shows implementing COVID stuff already. I'm watching like COVID material.
Yeah.
Like, This Is Us is all now The new season is in COVID. Everyone's dealing with COVID. Wow. And
dude,
George Floyd.
Wild.
And
yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
First of all, I didn't know you watched This Is Us.
My girlfriend watches This Is Us.
Okay, okay.
But we live in a one bedroom, so I watch This Is Us.
So, Longfellow admitted just on here, right here, Papaya Not Not News, everybody.
It's that a he sweet watches show. It has a lot of heart.
I've heard good things about This Is Us. I've never seen it, though.
Well, the head writer, she killed herself.
Oh, what? I didn't know that.
Yeah. Jazz Waters. Yeah, I was sitting right there. Remember Jazz Waters? We were talking about her. She was an African American. She wrote like the first like two seasons, first two, three seasons, I think, of the show.
Oh, shit, man.
Which were like monumental. And then she killed it. She was like a writer I loved dearly. Like, she didn't know me, of course, but right. I was a fan of just what she did.
Damn.
Yeah. Jazz Waters.
That sucks, man.
Yeah, for sure. I didn't mean to bring this down, guys.
Yeah, that's all good.
Yeah.
No, that's really sad, man.
No, but yeah. So first of all, I didn't know you had that kind of empathy, Michael.
Well,
to like.
Oh, I do.
This is why
guilt weighs on me.
it's a heavy weight. Wait, is it? Where's the guilt coming from, man? You don't need it.
Oh, I know. I don't know where it's coming from. I could probably figure it out in like therapy or something.
Right.
You're not going to do that, though. You're not going to go to therapy.
Yes, man. Carry a guilt with me that is profound.
Just sit on that. Pass it down to your son.
Yeah, I'll dump it out somewhere.
Yeah, just dump it out on him.
And he's like, you can't dump this on me, Mike, okay?
Like,
I'll beat your fucking ass.
My father gave it to
ass.
Me. I give it to you. Someday you'll give it to yours.
I say you work all this out on stage.
Right.
Just like your old man
parks.
Did.
Right.
Different parks.
I'm giving you material. She's like crying.
Ellen said, you need to get back on stage, dog.
Man. But maybe that's why you would make a good politician.
I'm being dramatic too. It's not that.
No, nah, dude.
Yeah, I have empathy.
Trauma's real. Ancestral trauma. You don't know what happened to your people
back when.
Exactly.
Exactly.
You know.
You know. Guilt are you aware of your family history? Like 100%.
Yeah. What is your family background?
Yeah.
I don't know much about it.
I mean, what are you mixed with? You look mixed.
I'm Irish and I'm Welsh and I'm a little bit German.
Mm. Word.
I could tell.
Dude, German. Everyone's always a little German.
Everyone's
they really
a little.
Made their. I mean, it's not great, but they really...
You try to conquer the world
They
twice.
Really tried to do it. They were in there.
You think we're a little bit German?
Nah.
Is that, are you saying everyone's German in the same way people are like, everyone's related to Genghis Khan?
Like a 1 in 400 chance or something like that?
Yeah, there's always a
little... No, white people that are mixed. There's always a little bit of German.
Yeah, there does seem to be.
There's always a little bit of German in there.
Yeah. My grandma says that the guy that wrote about Paul Revere's famous ride, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, that like the British are coming story, he says that guy was related to us.
Wow.
So pretty cool.
Dude, that's kind of shattering, yo.
All right,
that's
hard.
That's a big
hard.
Yeah.
He was never able to top that story.
I wouldn't, you know, my grandma's no liar.
Wow, man.
Wow.
The British are coming. The British are coming.
I mean, that's like one of the most famous bars.
Yeah,
maybe of all time. Is there a more famous bar?
No. He didn't even write that.
He didn't write it. He wrote it down.
Oh, he wrote it down.
Yeah, he's not Paul Revere.
He heard the guy say it.
Yeah.
Well, you never
but
know. Maybe
he
edited
sampled it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he sampled it. It's a remix.
He made the story famous, I suppose.
Dude, that's pretty cool.
And I guess he was a poet. I guess he was a pretty notable poet. Like I saw him in college and stuff. His name was.
Oh shit!
Wow.
Around,
bro. Dude.
Whoa.
That's pretty cool.
I don't think he's related to me.
I think he might be, man.
My grandmother would always say he was.
That makes sense, though. That makes sense why that's in your blood, right?
No, I don't think I...
You know why that's in there, Michael.
Come on, Doc. You guys think I got a little Wadsworth in
there? Yeah.
You got to embrace the Wadsworth, man.
Yeah.
You got the soul of a poet.
Yeah.
That's what it is, man. That's what it is. We should all embrace our Wadsworth.
My comedy's poetry, dude. I see. Now that you guys say it, I'm very poetry-like.
Dude. I remember one time, there was actually like a comic who actually did poetry on stage, and like this 4-minute poem. It was just a long time to go without laughter. That's a lot of time.
In a comedy club?
It was a great poem, but the whole time I'm like, man, this is a long time. People stop buying drinks. Like, the burger got so
it's a long
mad.
Time to feel intense, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Like three minutes tops of intensity, please.
Right.
A movie would do that to you. They like lighten it up a little bit.
Yeah.
It was just like one of those like racially aware poems. And it was like one of those woke pieces that he did in the crazy
in a comedy club too. Yeah.
And people actually started to get woke like in the middle of the show. And then they brought the headliner up.
I don't know if you ever saw like I've had this experience that if a poet goes up in like a comedy open mic, people think it's going to be a comedy poem, so they start chuckling at stuff that's just straight where something a joke should be, and then you realize. He's not. He's doing something serious, and it's just dead.
Right.
Yeah.
That's what I've experienced.
You experienced that?
Yeah.
Or gosh.
Someone's like, and then they'll give the charity chuckles. You know,
The
charity chuckles
to somebody. Cadence.
Yeah, the cadence of this is where a joke should be.
Right.
You kind of said it like it might be a joke, and then it's like, oh, it's not, and then it just keeps going, and then dies, and then. All right, well, the next guy goes up and tries to do a dating joke or something.
Right.
I don't know if I'd like it or not if someone did a woke-ass poem before I...
If you had to go next, it would be tough.
Maybe it'd be good energy.
Exactly. Yeah. Depends on how you would use it.
Yeah. If you're a black comedian following, it's going to be a great set. It's going to be an amazing... They're going to love you. They're going to eat it up. Right. If you're white...
Yeah, that might be a... Fuck, man.
Michael Longfellow, everybody.
I got a dog. He's not racist.
Yo, man. For the people listening at home, if you want to get into comedy, it's a lot of poetry. You're going to have to sit through.
You've got
to
write poems.
First mics I went to in LA were poetry mics.
Really?
This is really, really can be hard.
Behave better when someone does poetry at a mic, like a comedy mic, or do poetry people behave better towards comedians?
Dude,
I would think poetry people would be nicer.
You nailed it.
But you know what? They're so raw and real.
They're very raw and real. I think you'd have to be a good comedian.
You would just have to be really good. And I was just starting and was not. And so.
But you guys can handle that now. That now that wouldn't be a problem.
It would be way, my approach would be 1,000% different.
Right. No, I remember there was actually a mix show that like back home in Tampa, like we used to have with like poets and comedians, and it went well. And then the lady, like, she stopped booking comedians because while the poets were on stage, comedians were always in the back talking. And it was just like a consistent.
There you go. Yeah.
There's your answer right there.
Yeah, right.
Disrespect.
Piece of trash, disrespectful, punk ass comics.
Dude, that's why I'm saying comedians are worse than gangs, bro.
To be a damn professional, kind individual. These
okay, Michael,
punks.
It was me. I was the one talking in the back. I was the one talking in the back.
District's art.
Oh my god!
Just like we're trying to do.
Right. Let the gangs do the open mic, man. Right.
Like he's humiliated up there. It's embarrassing. Of course it is. He's reading poetry in front of people. It's gross. You don't let him know.
Oh my god, man.
Yes, someone on stage just pouring their heart out about how their parents abused them through this poem.
And then no punchline.
No.
Yeah.
Of course it's weird.
Dude.
Right.
And come on. It's fucking dope.
I'm in the back of the room.
The bravery to do it is just like fascinating.
Dude, the punchline is what his dad would say when he would hit him. Here's your punchline. Huh? Did I just halt it?
No, it would be like
halted it?
Yeah, no, his dad would say yeah, but it would just be punchline. Right. My dad would only say one word after he hit me, and this would be the end of the poem. It's been like 10 minutes.
Right.
Punchline.
Yo, that's
there we go.
Smack the note.
There we go.
Smack the note. Make sure noise like a noisy closing note. And then he walks off, and there's no applause. And then 3 seconds.
Dude, wow.
That's the scene.
That's beautiful.
And now it's time to bring up your headline.
That's the scene in his head. And then he'd just be like, punchline.
Oh my god.
And then kind of like probably drop his notebook and squeak away. And some guy named Dave would just be like, all right. Yeah, for John, everybody.
Somebody throws a full beer at him.
Yeah.
Right.
There's a cough in the back.
Some prop comic named Johnny Bananas follows that guy.
Right. Jeff Dunham used to crush after Jeff poets. Jeff Dunham was killing after Jeff these Dunham. Poets.
He used to like to bring a poet with him on the road.
Right. You know?
As he's reading his poetry, the guy's setting up puppets.
I'm glad you guys agree. Jeff Dunham is poetry.
I used to hate that. Like, you'd be on stage, like, you got like 2 minutes left, and like someone is already setting up. Like, what? It's like the band going on after
plugging
you next.
Guitar. Yeah, yeah.
They're like, setting up their drums.
He's tuning in.
There's three people on stage.
Right. You got 2 minutes left. You're like, thank you. This is my closer, but keep going. This is my closer, guys, but keep going. That's fine.
Yeah, the amps work.
Right.
Thank you.
Yeah, dude. It varies, man.
They start playing their song a little bit too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are you playing me off right now? Yeah. I paid $7 right. to do 3 minutes in West Hollywood. This is horrible.
Dude.
It's just horrible, man.
Shout out to Poets.
Shout out to Poets. Shout out to Poets, man. We got much love. Yeah. Much love.
Yeah, we're the same kind of struggling artists.
This is a podcast of love, and
neither of us should have much of an ego.
No, we have not.
We're the same, right? Yeah. Right, we're the same.
Ridiculous. Let's not take ourselves seriously, yeah, man.
We're the same struggling man.
That's real, man. Well, look, fellas, that's the end of the episode.
Really?
It's the end of the episode.
Close the notebook.
The notebook's closed.
Punchline.
Thanks, Michael. Thanks
Ray,
for being here.
Before
buddy.
You go, though,
appreciate you, man. Me. What's up?
I do want to know if you guys want to take this vaccine, though.
Yeah, dude.
You're taking it.
You're taking the vaccine.
I'm taking the vax.
You're taking the vax.
I'm gonna wait till Michael takes the vaccine.
Yeah, let's see what happens
Michael. What happens to Michael?
Maybe not the first round, but maybe the first round. Honestly, I don't know. We're gonna see.
You be there?
I won't take the first one.
The first.
If it's take like the third.
You walk in the doctor's office. He's like, "Great, you're the first one."
Like, yeah.
Patient zero.
Jake, did you want to go?
Yeah.
Who has to get out of here?
Oh my gosh. Is that something you would want the doctor to tell you?
Like,
just as it's in your arm?
Yes. Right. No, not as it's in my arm. If it's gotten to that point.
You're an American hero.
Right. That he hands you a Barnes & Noble gift card. Congratulations. You're the first patient.
He takes a picture.
Right.
My arm's already swollen. And like,
dude, you're like Neil Armstrong. That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, dude. Maybe that's the vaccine. Maybe it's like almost like a genie's deal. You know? Like, it'll be like... Like, oh, it'll give you a nerve disease, but you won't get COVID.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
But you will never get COVID.
Yeah, yeah.
You won't feel your legs,
but
you won't
paw.
Get COVID.
That's what it is, man.
Alan, you said you're in.
I think I'd wait. I'd wait.
You'd wait?
Yeah. I'd wait 1 month.
All right.
it's released. I have 1 month date. When I'll
right.
Dude, that's how I used to buy Madden video games. It was wait. You wait for a month, see what the hype's about.
Right.
New hit steak, okay.
Right.
Played it at my friend Mitch's house. Seems pretty sick. I'll buy Madden. Jonas, are you gonna get it? You gonna get a vaccine?
You know, I'm gonna see. I'm gonna see how it. You know, after it goes through all the Chinese people, I'm gonna see what happens. I'm gonna just wait and see. They're gonna drop it. They're gonna give it to the Chinese people first.
What?
Absolutely.
They're not gonna give it to us first.
They're trying it in China right now.
They're trying it in China right now.
Right now, they're trying it. So they're gonna run through them first. We'll see how it goes. You know, a couple billion. You know, it goes okay. Then I'm gonna let you guys try it first.
Yeah, I'll let you know, man. You don't even have to worry about China. I'll let you know.
Thank you.
Yeah, man, fuck. I'll go to China right now. I'll get
I got your info, dude. I'll send you a message.
Oh my god.
So far, so good.
Dude, two more things real quick.
Yeah.
it's National Indian Pudding Day.
Oh, yeah.
Right, November 13th. Which, of course, when anyone hears this, it won't be anymore, but... November 13th is National Indian Pudding Day. And I was excited because I thought it was like Payesh, which is this Indian rice pudding that you see in restaurants and stuff. Right. It's like sweet. And it's actually bread pudding that's from like colony times that they brought to Indians. Like the New Englanders were like, here's this bread pudding. It's called Indian pudding. So it's like we just can't win in 2020 anymore, man. It's just like,
so this is white people's pudding?
This is white people's pudding, and it's called Indian bread pudding.
Oh, wow.
I'm sorry.
Thanks, man. Hey, I feel better, actually. Right. Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
I mean, that's a little bit of that British colonial influence.
It is.
Pudding? Pudding,
yeah.
Yeah, that's a... That's
that
a,
is... Yeah. There's nothing more British than pudding.
Dude, that's as European white as it gets.
Yeah. That was Modi's slogan. Make pudding.
Right.
Indian
make
again.
Make pudding Indian again.
Pudding's good.
Pudding is good. Pudding is good.
It is.
Forget about pudding. Pudding's fucking good, dude. I gotta get some pudding.
Pudding is also the perfect pudding. Word to describe or right. what it looks like, you know?
Dude, it's because it's not quite yogurt. It's not quite Jell-O.
Yeah.
It's perfectly in the middle.
It's right in the middle. It's not a milkshake.
But every couple years
yeah,
it gets...
Jell-O's too... If I'm getting Jell-O, I'm going to get pudding.
Jell-O's
I'll just go
for
to
sure.
pudding.
Yeah.
Jell-O's like the Molly.
Why would I settle for Jell-O?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's... I don't like that it's a neon. That freaks me out about it. Well, like Jell-O's so, like...
Yeah. Yeah.
But I like how you get it at a place and it comes with the wafers now, the Nutella wafers.
Oh, you getting the nice shit? Wow. Yeah, you're an Erewhon getting the nice ass.
Wow, did I just blow my shit out? Yeah.
Listen,
you get wafers.
Right.
Shit,
you know what? Let's
you got a side dish.
And you guys don't realize that like pudding is like always a little bit revolutionized every couple of years. They always put a little something in there.
Again, not plugged into the pudding only scene. I know, not the Indian opiate scene. I need to get plugged in on this.
Oh
shit.
Yeah,
the pudding revolutions.
Yeah, they go great with some wafers.
Mm. Oh man. Yeah. All right. Good tip. But hey.
Yeah.
Enjoy your pudding with some wafers, huh?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's a great tip.
Yeah.
Have some.
It's also National Happiness Day, so that's great, man. Happy you guys happy we got to do this. Happy that's you guys boring. Are here, man.
Comedians, comedians don't celebrate that.
What? Oh, you guys celebrate. You anti-celebrate?
Anti-celebrate.
Yeah, man. Fuck National Happiness Day.
Is it really National Happiness Day?
Apparently it is, man.
What is the... Okay, what's the second part of that? What do
they
say
to
do?
That's it. It's just you're supposed to spread happiness.
You don't get to just say that it's that.
You got
to
spread happiness.
There has to be like... Just spread happiness.
That's how bad it's gotten. We need a day to do that shit now.
I just think you told me this at the end of the day. There's nothing I can do now.
it's past midnight, actually. Right. The day's over.
It's actually...
mad the whole day, too.
Right.
Just
right.
man.
National
well, yeah, I dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah, no, it's cool. But it's good, you know, by the time, I guess every day should be National Happiness Day.
That's right.
Should
yeah.
Make someone happy today, guys.
I appreciate you guys going wholesome for me there at the end. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's a great note to end on.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
You know. All right. Well, cool. Subscribe if you want. Okay, bye.
Papaya 9, not news with Neil and Jonas.
Papaya 9, not news. With Neil and Jonas.